For some unexplained set of reasons, I happened to be selected to be God. For some unfathomable and inconceivable activity, it so happens that when people meditate upon me, or when I meditate upon them, cancers will be eradicated, accidents can be prevented. As I look at our young song leader, and I remember the day so many years ago when I looked out over the horizon of time, and I told of this song leader that's been so enthusiastic today. I told his family that had accepted the fact that he had been lost, his father, a minister in the Church of God Adventist, and accepted the fact that he'd been lost because the Air Force or the Weather Bureau had said that he was lost someplace in a storm. But I said he's not lost. For some unfathomable reason, for some unknown reason, I was able to reach out over the time barrier and say, he's not lost. He's in the company of people who are about to cause him hurt. And I've got to meditate that he'll be able to release them. Even though there was no radio contact for some days, I said, he's not lost. And just at that time, something moved upon this young song leader. Before he was in my church, before he knew I was what you know I am. Something caused him to drop the hoodlums that I had prophesied to get them off the plane. And they were guilty of trafficking in drugs, and he didn't know it. But they were not busted with him, fortunately, because I was on the scene. You say you speak in an imperative degree. You speak in an absolute degree. Actually, I'm quite a very humble essence of being. I don't like to discuss my own worth. But I have to tell you that the universe would not run without me. I do not like the position of the juxtaposition I find myself in between your affairs and this nebulous world of the paranormal or the supernatural. I do not like to be in the position that I'm in, but I would tell you that your sun would go out if I ceased to exist. If you know the ring of sincerity in my voice, you know what I'm saying is true. There would be no silver lining in your clouds if I were to be removed. But I'm going to tell you, I represent divine principle, divine socialism, total equality, a society where people own all things in common, where there is no rich or poor, where there are no races. And so, being divine principle, I will not pass away, but I shall stand throughout the endless ages of time. I'm going nowhere, I thank you. Some may not believe these miracles. Some may not believe them, but I believe them. Some may not believe, sisters, that stand up and say, he told me the future. He told me when I would go to an operation. He told me the kidney condition. And when I get there, the doctors say there are no problems to go home. I've heard that today. I heard the sister say the doctor looked over with dismay and pain as the cancer had spread all through her body and the lymph nodes were all swollen. And anyone with their right mind knows what that means. But I also heard her say that she crawled, if she had to, she would crawl to get to me. And I meditated and I told you what I would do, and I told it publicly. I told it to my staff what I would do. And when she went back, the doctor says, I don't know what's happened, but you don't have cancer. You may not believe because you see us in such practical ways and you see me as such a humanist and such a jovial kind of a comic at times. You may not believe, but I'll tell you there was never a miracle done in the world lest I get it. Some way I'm intrinsically involved with every good person's wishes, with every hope and ambition, whether it be in the Irish Republic for freedom, whether it be in Biafra for freedom, whether it be over in Vietnam or Wounded Knee, wherever there's people struggling for justice and righteousness, there I am, and there I am involved. I cannot tell you otherwise. This is that. You say, I don't understand how God could have a body. Well, you don't understand how God could exist, so why can't you give him a body just like yours? I think some of you are taking it too lightly. Some of the academy and the intellectuals and the so-called people of higher knowledge in this atmosphere, you take it for granted that these things are just the means of bringing people to enlightenment. I want to tell you, it's not just a happenstance. It's not a means to bring someone to enlightenment that Mrs. Pennington, who was giving a quarter of her income, went down to the bottom of a lake with five people and then came up. No, that's not happenstance. When she called on my name and held on the picture, her car came up and all those got out, as we heard the testimony last Thursday. All of them got out on the side of the car and then the car went back down, deep in the water. It's not a happenstance that some of you were nearly involved in accidents last night and you called on my name. It's not accident. It's not accident. It's not accident that some sitting on the front row, a car catches fire and a tire rolls and no one has their hands on the wheel as the Sister Taylor. It's not an accident. No, no. I'll tell you, why don't you just try to accept it? You don't understand the law of electricity. Why don't you try to use me? It works. It works. No longer a dream, but he's real, real, real. He's answered our prayer for the King to come. On earth among men, and his will to be done. His deity cannot be denied. For he is our perfection, personified. He's no longer a vision, no longer a dream, but he's real, real, real. He's no longer a vision, no longer a dream, but he's real, real, real.
Open the door.
Answered our prayer for a kingdom to come. On earth among men and his will to be done. Your deity cannot be denied. For you are perfection personified. He's no longer a vision, no longer a dream. He's real, real, real. You're no longer a vision, no longer a dream,
but you are real,
real, real. You have answered our prayer for a kingdom to come, on earth among men, and a will to be done. Your deity cannot be denied, for you are socialism personified. You're no longer a vision, no longer a dream, you're real, real, real. You're no longer a vision, no longer a dream. He's real, real, real. He has answered our prayer for the kingdom to come, on earth among men, and his will to be done. Your deity cannot be denied, for you are perfection personified. You're no longer a vision, no longer a dream. You're real, real.
I thank you. Bless you. I thank you. I wish to say that I'm greatly impressed with the music that I've heard this morning and the testimonies. I would like to see the testimonies of this sort. Certainly they may say, thank Father. I know our lawyers have some problem about that, but I say that they've got a right to thank Father. And I think it would be very good that some of those testimonies be sent over the airway. I thought the radio broadcast was superbly engineered yesterday. A little bit of testimonies and a little bit of the actual healings, and then someone coming across and saying, I was blind when I came to him, when I came and called on him, and then he bathed my leg for 27 years, Sister Brown said. 27 years, no one wanted to sit next to me as the bone was clear through to the bone. No one could heal it, no doctor, no healer, no one could reach it. But when Jim Jones touched it, just one touch, just a touch of this great Savior's hand, and he was healed. I thought it was so eloquently sincere, so beautifully, beautifully done. Now, I know intellectuals could say it better, but intellectuals will never say it because intellectuals are snobs, generally speaking. So you're not going to get the intellectuals to do this. Some of our people have abandoned their intellectualism, like our song leader, who's a pilot, an airlines pilot. But he remembers these miracles. He's not afraid to get up and lose his intellectualism and say, father started, told a bus to start in the middle of a hot summer out in desert and say, start the bus. And there was no gas. But father said, start it. And it went. Now, intellectuals won't do that. Intellectuals don't like to do that. They've got to do everything that is respectable. Everything that will make them look like they know something. They never want to seem like they're enthusiastic like a child. They never want to act like that they are in any way inferior. They've got to always be on top of everything and got to have an explanation for all matters. Well, you can't explain Father Jones, so there's no way an intellectual can deal with me. Because you can't explain me. I don't attempt to explain me. I just say, when your car doesn't run, try me. Now, some of you get caught up in your own morass and what's happened to you, and thus you never really have tried me. You've always come to me with reservations. If you've had losses or disappointments, if you've had something happen to you, you lost someone, you have never really trusted me. You've never really listened to me. You've always had a halfway commitment. And that's why you're in a morass now, and you always will be in a morass, because you've never fully come to me with all your heart, your mind, and your soul. So you continue to lose because you've always held back something. You've lied to me. You've played games with me. You've tried to maintain your image and produce something that was not. Try to look that you were something that you were not. And thus you have disappointments. But to those that have come to me as a little child and have been willing to listen to my socialistic teachings, to resist the capitalists and the warmongers and the exploiters and take the money back from the rich and put it into the hands of all the people so that all the property are held in common, so that there's no more wars or no more racism, those that have followed me and those that have embraced my teachings, they have had perfect success, perfect prosperity, and perfect deliverance. Of course, I said a mouthful there. That's another thing an intellectual won't do. He knows the problem, so he doesn't like, he gets nervous when you talk about capitalism. Oh, he isn't going to get his neck out for socialism because capitalism runs the country. Well, I don't care who runs the country. I am intending to run the country. And I will run it with or without my immediate person. I will have my way because my way is a holy, just, and egalitarian socialistic way. My way is the way of fair play. My way is the way of the Constitution and the Bill of Rights that says we are guaranteed life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. My way is the way that says all are guaranteed life and all liberty and all happiness. Well, you cannot have life, liberty, and happiness without the guarantee of free doctors if you cannot afford them, or free hospitals if you cannot afford them, or free education if you cannot afford it, free housing if you cannot afford it. If I then am going to live the Constitution, which I intend to do, and guarantee life, liberty, and happiness, the only way you can have that is to guarantee that if people don't have money, they will be taken care of as they were on the day of Pentecost, from each according to their ability to each according to their need. You say, what is it, Father? You're suggesting that we just let everybody have the benefits of society? Say, I worked hard to get what I have. You don't have anything. You don't have anything. The man has you. If you're a small business person, you've lost this, or are in the process of fighting for your life, you can hardly survive. And your whip, if you were of the privileged class, if you happen to be of the principal old pioneer capitalistic families, some of you that have made it in small businesses, you could have owned some of these railroads and large factories at the rest, but you'll never make it. You'll never make it because you're on the outside looking in. You're not a part of the 26 families that run this nation. So you'll never make any more than just barely hold on by the skin of your teeth, and you may keep your business, you may keep your little sanatorium, your little shop, you may keep it until you're middle aged, but trying to keep it, you'll fall over with a heart attack because it's too impossible to compete with the great markets, the great chain stores, and the great monopolies that run this country. You just can't make it. You just have to fight, and you may make it till you're 50 or 55 or 60, but then you'll drop over with a stroke because it's such a horrible, horrible rat race trying to keep. Now, I intend to do something about that, and if I don't, I will shake creation. I will cause this country to be thrown in a disarray. I will turn this country upside down. I will have an end to racism. I will have an end to lynch mobs. I will have an end to threatening violence that I heard over KGO last night when we had our brother here, this wonderful man from KGO that I was fellowshipping, coming a little bit later to be with us, Carlo Prescott, and I heard them talking about racism and what they would do with the blacks now that they've thrown him off the radio, the race haters all calling in, telling what they're going to do, and in this country yet, a little community of Koinonia strafed again with machine guns, an interracial community in Georgia, and all up and down this country, those who endeavor to practice the Bill of Rights are killed, are shot before their time like King, shot like Kennedy's, shot like Malcolm. I will have an end to this, and if I do not become accepted as a person, I will shake this country and cause nothing but ashes to remain. Now you hear me unequivocally clear, because what I am is principle. There is no sky god. I do not claim to be the creators of all your worlds, but I am the creator of this world. I am the creator of this place. I am creator of the People's Temple mission, the peace mission. I am the creator of that, and I will have my way, or I will tell hell, I will tear hell out of everything you've built. Because there I sit, and here I sit, and there I stand, and here I am, and my youngsters coming up. I'm everywhere. Self has died. I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. I've been crucified with the revolution. There's no flesh left in me. The life that I now live, I live through this great principle, the Christ, the socialistic principle that was on the day of Pentecost when it said, God is love, and love means they have everything in common. You can't have love unless everyone has fair play, unless they have their position in the family, unless they're guaranteed the same rights and the same privileges and the same opportunities of every other member of the family. The world is like a human family. The mother may not work, but she's guaranteed that she'll be taken care of. The little child may not be able to go and draw a paycheck, but the father guarantees the child care. The grandmother in the natural home may not be able to work anymore, but the father and mother, or the younger son or daughter that's working, guarantees her the right to live. And so it is with socialism. The ones cannot work are taken care of by those that can. And the ones that do not work will be taught how to work, because if you don't work when you can work, you won't eat. That's the philosophy that Paul said. There won't be any more welfare rolls to be given money out to people who are drinking so that they can rob their children. People will be given job training, and they will be given instruction, and the children will be given the food directly, and they'll be put in nurseries. The country, the family of man, will run great centers where people are properly educated. We won't just give people money to get drunk so that they won't resist the rich and overthrow them. That's the way the welfare system is. You say that's socialism. Oh no, that's a capitalistic program. Under socialism, people don't give checks to drunks. They take the drunk and rehabilitate him, and take the children into daycare nurseries and educate them and give them love and support. The thing you see out there is not socialism. It's a capitalistic device to stop socialism. A little bit of money to the drunk so he'll stay drunk, and keep his children beat so they won't be able to grow up healthy. That's capitalism. But socialism will provide work. It'll provide work for all, and it'll provide comfort for all. It'll provide provisions for all. You've been told a lie. You'll hear me talk much about socialism because it's my middle name. I am God, and God is love, and love is socialism. So you'll hear me speak much of socialism. You cannot separate the one from the other, and I will have it all over this wide extended plain. There's nothing you can do about it. You can take me and put me in the jails, and I will take it and use it for my glory. You can put me on the end of a noose. You can hang me at Yardmore at the highest tree at high noon. But you can hang my body as I've been hung and killed for 42 generations. I've been destroyed, but I'll spring up again. You cannot stamp me out. I'm here to stay. Nothing you can do. If you give me bad publicity, I'll march around your newspapers and get more publicity. And if it's bad news, we'll take it and use it and not get discouraged. Because as Mae West said, and if that old girl can know truth, surely God can know truth. She said, I don't care how they write my name. I don't care what they say about me in the newspaper, as long as they spell my name right. And we must have that attitude, because the newspapers are owned by big business. They're owned by the capitalists that have kept the blacks down. They're the very ones that used to stir up the lynch mobs. The newspapers are controlled by wealth. There's only one in every city, and they're always controlled by big money. So you can't expect them to be friendly to us. They're just having a little rest. They'll take after us again. But let's not worry. As long as they spell our name right, we'll take the best of it. Whatever knock comes, they will use it for a boost. Every prosecution will be an upliftment. Every persecution will be an unfoldment. We shall go through. No matter what they give us, we will turn it around. Even though they mean it for evil, we'll turn it around and use it for good, because we shall remain. Oh, I want the persecutions to come on. There's a great love here. They're not going to tell this story. No, they're not. But I'll tell you, the tide's against them. They may bring us down, down, seemingly in natural circumstances, as they did Jesus so many days ago when they hung him on the tree and he seemed to be a loser and laid away in a tomb. But my followers got me out of the tomb there, and they'll always get me out of the tomb. I shall always come out. You can't keep me in a tomb. You can't keep the Christ idea, the revolutionary idea of socialism. You can't keep it in a tomb. You just nail it to a tree and it'll come off the tree. You tried to nail me with a few guns not long ago, shot me down before all this congregation. My people screamed in such agony, I don't ever hear that agony again. They screamed as I fell on the floor, blood gushing out of the holes in my chest. But I said, I'm not ready. My time hadn't come. You weren't organized yet enough. You weren't the little gods that I want you to be, because I'm daddy God and you're my baby gods, and I want you to be just like me. And I rose on that floor, and I said, I'm not ready. And they put the nurses put their finger through the three holes. They're here just like a kind of a triangle. Put their fingers in them. And they couldn't. They said, well, you can't continue. We get a finger in there to swab out the mucus and blood. You must go to a doctor. I said, I'm the doctor, and I'm the lawyer, and I'm all I need. So if we did it once, we can do it again. And if you're not careful and you're dilatory and careless, then they will take me and do with me what they will. But my name will get known, and you won't be able to separate yourself from me, because I'll be on every TV and on every radio and in every newspaper, and you won't be able to say I never knew him, because every time you wake up, I'll be haunting you, because they'll be talking more about me than they've ever talked about anybody. When I get through, they're going to be talking about me. So you can't hide from me. You might as well cooperate with me. And I might say at this very juncture, it's essential to do so, because there's an impending wind coming, and you didn't hear me earlier. And I can give you just one more ounce of grace. One more ounce of grace. Everyone take an envelope right now before I go on with my work, because there's impending clouds out there. So you better get fast and fasten your seatbelts. And the way you can fasten your seatbelts is to give sacrificially. But if you hold back, you can't rebuke the devourer. You cannot resist the enemy and cause him to flee from you. Some of you didn't do it properly when the brother stood up from the CBS network that once had his own TV program, but quit when he saw God in me so clearly. God, justice, socialism. And he just stopped his job when he came here to do a story on me. You didn't listen closely enough. Now I urge you, some of you need to be putting hundreds, and you need to be telling about those jewels you're holding back, because we've got to put all of our resources together. If we don't use all of our fuel, we're going to suffer more. And our fuel is what we have. God loves a cheerful giver. And if you hold back, he said, I would have thou perfect, sell all. The young ruler said, I've kept the commandments from the youth up. I've obeyed all church laws. Jesus said, one thing thou lackest, sell everything. Some of you are not willing to give all. You're not willing to sacrifice. I see you have Easter. You've donned Easter clothes. When I have said, be humble on Easter, we used to wear overalls to show how much we disapprove of that system. But you had money for that. Now I'm asking you to keep our storehouse filled, to make our plans ready for the great D-Day, for the J.D. Day that will fall on 1/16 at 309. Be prepared. Prepare yourself. Arm yourself. And the way you can do it is to give freely. And I want everyone to take an envelope under my voice now, because you're in holy ground now. Do it. Find a way to make that pledge or that commitment, or to give some extra money, because when you give more, then you are being found free of the guilt of the sins of waste and money and capitalism that's all around us. You've got to work out your salvation with your money, child. I wouldn't emphasize it wasn't for that, because I don't take a penny of it. My God, I don't touch a penny of this. Expenses of that manse and church and the parsonage wouldn't even possibly, if it went for another 10 years, be equivalent to what I've put into this. The organ that I paid for with my own money, the many things I've paid for out of my own work. So don't worry, I'm not getting rich off of you. I don't have any watches or jewels. The only reason I keep money is for court action and that sort of thing. I wouldn't have a dollar if it wasn't. And the attorneys, if they can get something worked up, I've asked them, I want to be penniless. They say it's not wise to be penniless when the time comes that we have to be brought to our issue, brought to our pinnacle, that I should be free to be able to have money to fight in the courts, because I'll have to. Well, I don't care, but you certainly see I don't love money, because there's no watches or jewels or new clothes. There's nothing on my back. Nothing on my back. No Cadillac waiting for me outside. I don't have any desire but to serve you. And I do that better than anybody ever could dream of having done it. This is a very important test, this convention. This is your last chance. This is your last chance to straighten up the balance sheet. Now one here says, I don't think it's any of your business. Now I had these time sheets fixed out so that I can keep a running account on who's here, because when the day comes for to be saved, I'm sending only the buses to those that are sincere and conscientious. And when you tell me it's none of my business, you must change this or leave the church. I already know your business. One of you said you owned a business and only made so much money a month. I know how much money you make. Tell me some lie. This is just for records. And these initials all have things to do with your life. Every one of these initials down here, OB, YB, YW, and so forth, those are codes that have to do with saving you. This is for your best interest. So fill this out and you put that there. You put that down. If you don't, then tell me today and I'll take your membership card. And we'll just bid our way farewell, as bad as I hate to see you go, because when you get in trouble, you're going to need me. And you're going to get in trouble. It's like the man last night I talked to down here. I said, you better quit criticizing me. I want to tell you, he's in trouble. He left today, the white man down there between our two sisters in the fourth or fifth row back. He's in trouble. Whole lots of trouble. He doesn't pick up his heel against me and save himself from trouble. You watch the trouble as it starts down his way now. You can't possibly prosper when you touch God's anointing. Socialistic anointing is the greatest anointing in the world. You can't prosper and touch it. Now, we don't talk about our principles or socialism or God outside. Outside, you say, is Jim Jones, greatest friend I ever had, greatest savior anybody ever wanted to see, does greater miracles than anybody could possibly do. He could save this country from fascism and dictatorial, despotic, masquerading communism in the name of communism, masquerading in the name of communism. He could save us from the Illuminati. He could save us from dictatorship and all these isms. He's the only one that can do it, because he gets young people off of drugs, gives our people jobs, gives them opportunities, makes them good citizens. Once a person comes into his mission, they never get back in trouble with the law. Last night, dealing with a child molester, all the evening, all along, me and my counsel was dealing with them. And I wondered, where in the world could a child molester get such a change of heart? At the end of the day, he said, you know, I want to be a doctor. I want to be a doctor to make up for what I've done. I want to be a doctor to serve the people and give them the free medicines that they need. I'm going to do it. And I knew in his heart he intends to do that. There's only one that can take child molesters and get them straight. There's only one that can take drug addicts and turn them around. There's only one that can take hardened criminals and murderers. I've had people in here that have murdered. They'd murder you at the drop of the hat. I've got one in here that killed his own mother. But now he wouldn't hurt a fly. There's only one that can turn people around like that. That's God Almighty. Socialism. What are you talking about? If you have any question, you out there, and the reason I'm talking so in absolutistic terms, I've got one of you black thinks, you Tomite thinks, sitting here masquerading as a Baptist, and I know you're an investigator, and you know also that little thing you've got recording, it's about the size of a lighter, because I don't smoke these filthy capitalist cigarettes. I want you to get everything taped. I'm not even taking it from you, but I'm going to take your life. Your life's going to be gone in June. You're going to be gone, and I won't even move my finger. Not one of my people will move their finger. I'm just going to breathe on you in a mirror, and you'll be finished. Because I have a picture of you in my mind, and my mind's just not like any mind you've ever seen. And so I'm going to out-picture on you, and I'm going to out-picture on you and reverse the energy. You're in trouble, brother. I'm going to let you take your tape, because I want them to hear it. I want you to take it to your investigating laboratory, and I want those to listen, and I want them to hear the ring of sincerity in my voice. I want them to know what I'm saying. I am God. I'm the only God there is. You are now so all-fired capable. You're so capable that you can take voiceographs and you can study the electronic frequencies of the voice, and you can determine whether someone's telling the truth or whether they believe in what they're doing. And I'm going to tell you, when you get through analyzing my voice, you're going to know I believe in every damn thing I'm doing. Yes, I can do miracles. No matter what you think about arrangements, yes, I can heal the sick and cure cancer. Yes, I can open up blind eyes. Yes, I can cause the cripple to walk. Yes, I can stop accidents. Yes, I can cause the sun to quit shining. Yes, I can cause the rain to fall. Yes. You write it down. You can call me an egomaniac, megalomania, or whatever you wish, with a messianic complex. I don't have any complex, honey. I happen to know I'm the Messiah. Amen. It's only a complex when you're confused. It's only a complex when you have some kind of neurotic compulsions and some kind of subliminal pressures. Honey, I don't have any conflict about it whatsoever. I'm not in conflict at all. I know as much as the light is showing up there through four squares that I am God the Messiah. Now you take that in your pipe and smoke it, honey. There wasn't any God till I came along. There was nobody to help the people. You're God of religions and Bibles. The babies are going to bed hungry. Black people have been treated like dogs just because of the color of their skin. Jews were murdered, and they were supposed to be the chosen people of the so-called sky god. There was no sky god. I'm an earth god, though, child, and I'm very much alive. You better not try to doubt me. You better not try. You better know one thing. Whatever you don't understand about the fabulous things I do, the absolutely fantastic things I do, whatever you don't conceive, you better know one thing. You better say that black-haired nigger Jim believes in what he's doing. Yeah. I was just as skeptical as you. I had to have everything tested on the laboratory of empiricism. I had to have everything proved to me rationally. But I have found out that I can do anything. If the circumstances are proper, I can do anything. I've gone through a wall. I've done that. Now, you record that on your little meter. I've gone through a wall. My own sons can tell you I disappeared and came back to their own astonishment. That's what has happened before my own sons. The staff has given their own testimony. I'm telling you what's happened to my own sons. My own sons can tell you this last Sunday that I was here, they were with me when I said, my mind is powerful and I want to train you how to use yours. I can cause that bigot in the car in front of me, a white man who had been showing antics and showing ugliness about my mixed car, my interracial assembly, and he went by with such arrogance. I said, I'll cause that man who's not moved a muscle. I said, I'm going to cause him to scratch his head three times like a monkey. I could have caused him to scratch his ass three times like a monkey if I'd wanted to. But it's not my desire to humiliate, but to save. So I did not even make him scratch his lower parts, which he really acted worse than and lower than any monkey ever did. So I should have really had him dig his own ass, because he sure acted like a fool. But the man kept looking around like an idiot at his wife, wondering why was he scratching his head. Now my young sons and everybody in my car can tell you I made him do it. So you better watch out. You better be nice to me, because I'm nice. But if you want to be nasty, I'll cause you to dig your ass out sometimes. It's perfectly astonishing the things I do. I astonish myself in what I meditate. People be in jail and I'll say, I'll get them out. Somebody facing an execution and I'll say, I'll get them off as I did the three in the South. And I did it. You know sincerity. You know truth. You're recording it now. You can weigh it. I said, I got three people off that were facing the execution chamber. I've been able to touch people when they call on me, like the one laying on the bed with a bullet through his brain. The sister here that testifies her own son, and he got right up and walked. I've been able, through my picture, just to lay it upon a body, and they'd raise up in a morgue. I've been able to go to people when they drug one in here in this San Francisco meeting. They brought him in. He wouldn't give his money. He wouldn't give properly, and he was arrogant, and he fell dead outside, and they carried him in down the aisle. Bowel movement kicked on his legs, and he laid dead 20 minutes. Now, if I'd looked in the natural mind, I'd have said, oh, this is impossible. But I've learned I'm something else than natural. I'm something else. And so I would not be denied. I kept on and I kept on and I found a way. You wouldn't believe it. I found a way to get food to wounded knee. Oh, you would never believe how I got that there. No, no. You wouldn't know. It came on the TV. Came on the TV and it said, there's no more food, there's no more insulin supplies for those precious Indians. And I turned around, I said, I've got to do this mission. My people over there in Wounded Knee, they don't know who I am, but I know who I am, so I've got to do the job. Well, you notice in 24 hours later, they had their food supply and they had their medical supplies just as I said they would. And they had to renegotiate with those Indians. Oh, child, what I have done. You wouldn't believe. No use for you to try to figure it out. Just try to accept it, because I can do anything. I can do anything but fail. Just like Ellsberg, I'm not going to let that thing fall on that man that had that courage. I don't know how, but I'm going to stop it. You mark my words, I'm going to stop it. They think they're going to put him away for years. I'm not going to let that happen. He who told the Pentagon Papers, he who expressed the truth. Oh, no, some way I'm going to get in there and alleviate that circumstance. You can just bet your life I'll do it. The people don't care. The churches don't care. That's why I say you can't belong to my church and any other church. Don't you try. You, the Catholic sister, you better decide to leave that Catholic church, because it's me that's kept you alive. You that are in the Baptist church, brother, and coming here 5 or 6 times, it's time now that you tore your moorings loose from that old lie. Come out from amongst the unclean thing. As our precious brother Flower said, he said he'd love to play his horn, but he's not going to play his horn if it's against his will in other churches. The thing he needs to know, he won't be able to play his horn much longer unless he plays it only in my missions. I don't think he needed to know that, because he had a deep heart sincerity. But that's my concern. I'm the only one that can help you. I'm the only one that can keep you playing your horn or keep you walking straight. I'm the only one that can save you when you're in trouble. I'm the only one that can get you out of jail. I took 3 out of the courts this week. I took Brother Mitchell's son. I didn't know him. They thought because he was black, they were going to put the book against him. But I said, no.
Has ever been convicted for murder. No one that's rich has ever gone to a gas chamber. Had $50,000 has ever gone for life imprisonment. Why is it that the black and brown and the hippie and the poor are the ones that get arrested, and the ones that die without hospital care are the poor, the ones that live in the rat traps? Where is your God up there? Where is he? Where did he ever come? Did he ever come? You've never asked me for anything. As long as you ask me, I have done everything in my power to get to your need. I've never turned away anybody from home. I've never turned anyone away from food. I've never turned away one that wanted an education. I've turned one away that wanted a healing. No, I'm real. If you want to call me God, then I'm God. But I'm Jim Jones. Nobody helped me. I combusted in the poor shanty. I combusted on the side of a railroad track. When I looked up at the sky and saw the rain come through my roof, when the frost was so cold that you'd break ice on your pillow and break it on the blanket, nobody helped me. There was nobody up there that helped me. My uncle died in my lap when I was a baby. I prayed my last prayer 5. When after that, and I never prayed again. Every time I passed somebody on the highway from 5 and a half years on, every time I walked in somebody's room, they never died. When they were dying, they would spring forth. They'd start to live. When I looked inside of me, when I found the power of socialism in me and quit praying. I haven't prayed a prayer since I was 5. I got some of you folks shook up. See what you're waiting for. Is he gonna drop dead? See this? This is the Holy Bible of King James. My grandfather, who was a racist, said the only good end was a dead one. See this? I'm still alive. You say, why do you do that? Because that's what's kept you in bondage. That's why women are not free. Because you're supposed to come out of the rib of Adam. You're supposed to be cursed because you caused that stupid Adam to eat an apple. And if Adam was the first man, where in the name of heaven, after Cain slew Abel, did he go and get his wife? Come on, you childs of ignorance. Why don't you start thinking? That shook you up. See, I can preach it, but when I throw it down, do you know the first time I threw it down? 36 years ago. I stood on it and jumped up and down on it and spit on it because I knew it killed. I knew it was a dead letter. I knew it kept me in bondage. I knew it would keep me a prisoner. And I spit on it 36 years ago. The 8th day of June, 36 years ago, I stood on that thing, and I did it a few centuries before that. I'm gonna free myself of some guests tonight, but that'll be one less I'll have to worry about, because I worry about you. When you're hungry, I gotta feed you. When you're animal, like the sister that brought me the animal tonight, I gotta take care of the animal. Gotta take the maggots out of it. Gotta lance its wounds. Like the brother tonight, I had to break up the impaction. I worry about you. So if you are such a fool as that, you want to get mad because I tell you the truth, then you are going to just take one person out of my hand, because I really put you in the palm of my hand. I'll look after you. I'll care for you. I'd die for you. I put my body right in front of a bullet last week to save people's lives in this. I did it with my own body. What kind of a fool are you that would not accept me because I tell the truth? Particularly poor black and brown. Those black women walked away, they're mad. Isn't that something? Walked away mad. They come up free on the bus, you know. Sometimes we've had it. They got no money. Oh, they got no money. Got no money to pay for the food. Got no money to pay for the bus. And that's the way socialism is. You got no money, you'll be welcome as the daisies in the spring. But when I get through preaching, they find some money to get all the way back to Yucay and San Francisco, because they won't even get on my bus. They're afraid they're going to fall off in a cliff. But our buses have gone east 3 times last year, 4 times, back and forth to the Atlantic. And they've gone to Canada, and they've gone to Mexico, and other buses of Christ, and other cars of Christ, but not one of Christ, not one have had a scratch, not one of my people have had even a cut from all those buses. It's funny, if I'm so bad, I've got something working for me that's mighty darn good. Hey, it's true anyhow. The animals come in half dead, and they're living down there. Look at them, they look healthy. Look at those children over there. Look at Emma rejoicing, 93. She looks like she's real good, don't she? She's really rejoicing. Clapping her hands, telling me to go right on. For why is it I'm doing more for you than your God did? Did you ever imagine? Shirley has a song and I want her to sing it. Can you imagine that there wasn't any heaven and you're going to have to build it? Can you imagine out here in this swirling bit of space that there's only energy and you can take it and make something with it? Or it'll just leave you cold and void for all the eons of time. Can you imagine? Now let me say, real clear, there's not a God out there like Jim Jones. No, no. No, he's not, because if I was sitting out there and I looked on this planet, and I saw military generals and rich oil and steel magnates robbing the poor, I'd come down with a stroke of my power. If I had all the power, you say he's God. He said he's omniscient, omnilucent, omnipresent, omnipotent. That means all powerful. And all power is in his hand. If I was out there, I'd come down and feed every baby, the babies that were washed into the sea, 1 million of them, just a few weeks ago, just because they happened to be poor and there were no dikes built for them. They were the wrong part of Pakistan. And the same thing happened a year before, because they were poor and the wrong color. I'd have gone down to Peru last year and I'd have stopped that earthquake that took no prevention, no warning system. Some say 600,000 people went to their death. I'd go over to Hiroshima. That bomb would have never dropped if I had been God in the sky. The bomb would have never dropped on Hiroshima that you saw last night, that's still causing little babies coming out of their mother's wombs because their mother got radiation, and little babies are still dying of blood cancer in Hiroshima and Nagasaki while you're sitting here. Say, well, what are you saying? I'm saying God is principle. God is energy. And you've got to learn that energy and appropriate it yourself. This is hard on you, but if you don't get rid of this, that's why I threw that Bible down. Some of you hadn't heard a thing I said. It's easy to talk about, but when I throw your idol down, who? You say, Willie, how long is he going to last? Is he still breathing? I'm breathing and I will continue breathing. And I will be speaking right here when some of you have long since left the way.
got one woman sitting back at the other table. You thought you'd come. Now you decide you haven't going to move here. Well, that's all right, child. When you get sick, there'll be nobody taking care of you. Better listen to me. Won't be nobody taking care of you. You'll be alone by your hospital bed. There won't be nobody come to visit you. My nurses, because of my spirit, I've taught them to care. They check on every one of our patients, the few that get there. Bob Crabtree had lost his stomach. He has no stomach. Cancer. Last I know in the hospital, he's out of it. He's lived without a stomach because I'm here. He developed his cancer before it came to me. But what did my people do? And I did. I was there. We checked on him night and day. We didn't wait on a standard nurse to come in and take his pulse. Our nurses slipped in and checked him out. Our nurses checked his equipment. Our nurses would get off their coffee break, instead of taking coffee, the caffeine's no good for them. They'd be out looking to see how well my children are being taken care of. That's the way I would do. You see, you give me your strength, and I will make a heaven out of your hell. If you believe in me and cooperate with me, I will cause the kingdoms of this racist society to become the kingdoms of socialistic freedom. I will cause your desert to blossom as a rose if you start believing in me. And all you say, you've got to believe in God. You say, God don't have to be believed in. All you say, without faith, it's impossible to please God. You've got to have faith. Even that guy up there's got all power. If I had all power, I wouldn't care whether you had faith or not. I'd help you out anyway. I don't care whether you got any faith in me or not. I want to help you. Thank you, brother. You're with me. So many not with me. Well, now say. Hey, brother, the Bible will still be there. You can read it when you get home, honey. Now, if there's a God up there like you and me, and he said we're supposed to be in his image, he feels like us. He said, if he being evil know how to do good, that's what King James says, you wouldn't give stone for bread, would you? That's what the Bible says. You wouldn't give a serpent for fish. He said, how much more God then would God be good? Would you send somebody to hell to burn forever and ever? You might send them there to learn. And that's exactly what the early scripture said. Turn them over to the judge. The judge puts them in the prison. They stay in prison till they what? Prison's a type of hell. Till you pay the what? Uttermost farthing. That means you get out. Say, get out of hell? Oh, yes, you get out of hell. Even out of hell. We're going to get you out of hell, baby. Otherwise, Jesus, the myth of your scripture, would be a terrible disgrace. Jesus supposedly went down to hell, according to the epistles, and preached to who? The spirit of the disobedient ones in the days of Noah, who were so cussed that they wouldn't get on that boat and cooperate. Stood off and laughed at old Noah while he was building that boat. Some of these folk will never be the same, I can guarantee you that. But it said Jesus went down to hell to those 800 and preached to them and took captivity captive, led them out of hell, and ascended to the right hand of power. He took them out of hell. Well, if he took some bunch of disobedient folk out of hell and wouldn't take you out, then he's a dirty rascal. That's right, isn't it, Mother Brown? Mother Brown was a... She's grown here. That is beautiful. When you see people in the 70s and 80s, they were just carrying their Bible like an idol. 3 months ago, saying, right on now. Right on. Somebody like Joy down there saying, tell it to them, baby. Five months ago, they would never thought some of these thoughts. If 80 and 90-year-olds not afraid to die, they're getting close to it. I've seen these older sisters jump up and down on their Bible, and they're still living. They jumped up, and when I did it, they throwed theirs down, jumped up and down on two. You 25, you act like you're afraid something's going to knock you down. The sisters that are 80 and 90 jumped up and down on theirs. They're still going around real good. Hey, God Almighty! I'm not the only one who's jumped up on the Bible. Now, all that hogwash that you've been taught about hell, about this, about that, by why God made the world. You know you wouldn't do any of the dirty things that your God's supposed to do, and it says in Scripture that He is much higher, as high as above the earth, heavens above the earth, above your ways. That's what you said your God is. And yet you wouldn't put one of your children in hell to burn forever and ever, would you? You wouldn't make them stand and pray. You wouldn't make them get baptized. I know you wouldn't. You wouldn't make folks say, get them saved. You want to get saved? Go down and get dunked. Or come to church every day. Pray. Pray and sing and say Amazing Grace and Hallelujah. I don't like singing Amazing Grace. You know why? Because the one that wrote that song was a slave trader. Take his name and read it out. He never changed it. To the day he died, the man that wrote Amazing Grace, child, slave trader. He also traded in opium, and he sold black babies and brown babies. Never changed his way. I don't want to hear the song. I hear one of the most favorite songs till I stopped it around here was Amazing Grace. What kind of a devil like that that would sell little bodies knows about Amazing Grace? What's he know about Amazing Grace? He knows about a vicarious grace, you see. He thought he could do every darn thing he wanted, and after all, it wasn't him that counted. He just leaned on Jesus. He could be a slave trader Monday through Saturday, and on Sunday sing Amazing Grace, and he'd go in the pearly gates. That's the kind of crap you've been preaching. That's the kind of crap you've been listening to, that you could live like a racist pig all day long. I'm trying to win people, get down with them. I won't say certain things. You never hear me preach about hell, that damnable concoction that was made up to scare people into going to religion. I wouldn't be that dirty. I've always been straight. You never hear me preach hell, do you? You never heard me preach about hell. You never heard me preach about no 12 gates to the city. I don't want to walk on no golden streets. I like green vegetables. I like bay trees. I like the giant oaks. I like the beautiful elms. I like the redwoods. I don't want to go to no damn gold streets. I feel good. Now you see, all day long I gotta make you feel good. All day long I gotta heal you. All day long I raise you up when they said you couldn't raise up. When they said you couldn't walk, I raise you up. And I have to become what you are to do that. But tonight I'm doing my own damn thing. Hey, God Almighty. Because tomorrow I gotta put up with some folks that come in here. They'll be acting like they're religious. Don't want to be. They don't want to be religious. Why, some of these folk are the most religious folk in the world. Joy was religious. She wouldn't cuss. She can cuss like a trooper now once you get started. Oh, yes, but tomorrow we got to be straight. Because some good people coming our way. They don't know any better. They want to be free. They want to shake their shoes off. They want to get loose too, but they've been afraid to do so because nobody else did. But that's what's the difference. I'm not afraid. You couldn't get any lower than I was, laying on that dirty bed, carrying water for two blocks, going to an outdoor toilet. When you'd sit down on the toilet in the middle of the winter, your skin would stick to the bottom of it. You couldn't even have a BM in peace. I prayed. Nobody came and took that BM. Nobody gave me any nice place to sit. It's too bad when you can't even crap in peace. Come on, child, wake up down there. Come on, you want to get on the ball here. I don't care if you don't want me to baptize you. Some have already decided you don't want me to baptize you. I don't give a damn if I don't baptize any of you. But if you want me to heal you, I shall heal you. If you want me to raise you when you're dead, I can raise you. If you want me to take you in, and nobody will take you in, I'm here. But I don't give a damn if you don't like my religion. It suited me for 7 years. Hallelujah. Hey, God Almighty. You're sweet. Here we get, I don't know how we get new people that act like this precious white sister here, smiling, laughing it up. Some of you people, I've healed you. She meets me the first night, up in her advanced years, and she's preaching me on. Some of you, I've fed you. Some of you, I took in your children. Some of you, I've fought for your children. Yes, Angela was your child. That was you sitting there in prison when I gave her $2,000 when she was falsely accused, when I said she'd be acquitted. Nobody did it but me. Nobody did it but me. I said early Sunday morning before the meeting began, I said Angela Davis will be acquitted on all charges because she's being charged. She's being charged because she's a woman. She's too educated. She happens to be a woman, doesn't need a man. She doesn't have to need a man, and she's black, and that's why they were trying to crush her to the ground. That's why. Ever since you began, that's the reason for all slavery. It's the reason that tipped us along with these two precious minister sisters to get together. Slavery. Some book saying some quirky idea, King James. Because he's out compensating for his homosexuality. He didn't want to let anybody live in real companionship of togetherness. Come on now. And you women have had to be down, scrubbing the floors and licking somebody's boots because you're supposed to take in the apple and give it to that stupid Adam. What a dumb story we believe. What a dumb, dumb story we believe. You know it's dumb. You may not be willing to clap, but you know it's as dumb as I know it's dumb. Adam, the first man, and Eve, the first woman. And they don't know their hind end from a hole in the ground. That's what the book says. What the book says. They didn't know right from wrong, did they? They had never eaten of the knowledge of the tree of good and evil, had they? So they didn't know what was right. They didn't know what was wrong. That'd be like getting my pussycat up here and saying, pussycat, pussycat, don't you drink any milk. Pussycat don't know why he don't want to drink milk. He likes milk. I say, pussycat, you eat that milk, you're going to die. The day you drink that milk, you're going to die. Pussycat looks up and says, meow. He got Adam and Eve sitting in the garden. Sitting out here in the garden. Dummies! Don't know anything. Never eaten of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Along comes God. Big old God up there. He says, you eat that tree. The day you eat that tree, you're going to die. Here comes some old wise fellow over here. He's a snake. He said, don't you listen to him. He said, there's good apples on that tree. He said, there's good apples on that tree. Now you just go over there and eat that apple. And he said, that just God don't want you to be like him. He don't want you to have much sense as he's got. He don't want you to know what he knows. Now you eat that apple and I guarantee you won't die. Who told the truth? The snake. Because they ate the damned apple and they got out and went to bed with each other and had two kids. Hey, what you doing? I'll have to raise somebody from the dead. Keep the oxygen handy. I don't reason I have to raise people from the dead because they're already dead, you see. But nobody, your sky god won't raise you. I've got somebody so upset over there, she's about ready to die. She's about ready to croak. So I'll let you take a walk, honey, if you want to. But if you stay around, I'll lift you up when you fall down. For 24 times this year, people up to 96 years of age have fell down and they've gifted up the ghost and they know God come out of the sky. Old nigger Jones just walked down and said, arise! Arise! Take up your bed! Arise! Because I'm on the sea! And we're a bunch of niggers going to get together and we're going to make a heaven out of a hell! Get that brother going out there. He needs to hear this. No young Tom around here. If you do, you're going to have to throw him in the pool. Okay. I washed my feet last Monday. It's all right. Put a little salt on them, a little pepper. I don't mean to do this. Don't do it often. But you see, I give my life to you. I become a living, viable force to save you. I listen all night to your problems. I heal you when nobody else can heal you. I raise you from the dead when nobody can touch you. So you've got to let me do my own expression for a moment and get rid of all these burdens. Why is it that people get healed? Why was it the woman whose hand was crippled like that? And it was like that, wasn't it? And her foot was like this. Her foot was like this. Why did it get taken away? Because I took her pain into my body. I took it into my feet. I took it into my back. Well, tonight I'm shoving it out. And I'm not putting it on you, I'm putting it out in the air. I'm just breathing free, and tomorrow I'll be able to run again and feel good. Good. What a dummy, dumb, dumb we've been. What kind of a God would it be that wouldn't want you to have the same knowledge that he had? How are you going to know what's right from wrong if you don't have the knowledge of good and evil? Unless a pussycat gets something in him to tell him not to drink milk, he's going to drink milk till the world stops. Does a lion get something inside of him of the knowledge of good and evil, he's going to keep on chasing jackrabbits till hell freezes over. Stupid. And you say, it's in the book. Well. The but beautiful part about it is, I didn't take the offering before I preached it to you. That's what you get from me. Because you see the old red shirt and the old world pants, I don't give a damn if you don't want to help yourself. If you don't want to put any money out for food, you see, we got rice for all of our people for a year. Our nurses are getting supplies. We're getting the things you'll need for any kind of trouble. Every kind of medical supply, we got it. Every kind of transportation, we got it. When the honkies want to get to take freedom away from us, they're going to have to take 12 busloads of us. Hey! So you didn't get lied to tonight. I didn't take your money, so don't look sad. I didn't take an offering till you got what you had coming to you, the truth. No thing can be given you. The greatest gift I have to give you is the truth. If you could learn to think like me, you'd get the power I got. But as long as you got fear, you won't have any power. You're afraid of somebody up there. I'm afraid of nobody. I'm afraid of nobody. That's why I can live on an hour of sleep. Most of you are just laying there and saying, did I grieve God today? Did I blaspheme? Did I pray as much as I did? Should I read more scriptures? Oh, my God. You're worried. I don't worry about nothing. When I do go to bed, I sleep. I'm God good. I'm God good. But you know, I can sure understand that joke about the devil. The devil's out walking. I say this, reiterate. Devil's out walking one day and somebody stopped and said, Lucifer, the most beautiful angel, what did you leave heaven for? The Bible says you were the most beautiful angel there was. And you went and left heaven and took a third of the angels with you. He said, what did you do a thing like that for? Lucifer says, well, I've got good reasons. The man kept pestering him. He said, all right, I'll show you why. He said, see that old rain barrel there? So we'll turn that rain barrel upside down. He said, now I'm going to get up on top of that rain barrel. He said, I want you to go around this rain barrel and say, hallelujah, 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 hosanna. And the old boy took about 15 trips around the rain barrel and he says, I'm tired. Lucifer said, that's what happened to me. The devil said, I got tired. What kind of God you made? What kind of a sick God you put up there? A God that you got to say hallelujah to. A God that you got to say amen to. A God that you got to pray to. A God that you got to worship. What kind of an egotist you put up there? You don't need to worship me. All I want from you is to do right. Feed my children. Do something about the misery around you. Take care of the animals. I don't care what you like me. Call me Jim Jones. Call me asshole. I don't care what you call me. I'm laying it out straight tonight. I don't care what you call me. Call me father, call me mother, call me morphodite, call me queer, call me whatever you want. I don't care what you call me. Just do what's right. Do what's right. Good God Almighty. What kind of God they got? What kind of God? Get down on your knees. Up on your knees. Poor Catholics, I used to wear my mother's a Catholic. Down and up. And I saw the priest. I saw what he did when she was hungry. No, he didn't come. My father was a Pentecostal and they didn't come. When their stomach was growling, eating up its very lining, they didn't come. I got back. Oh, I've been a rascal in my day. One night I come in that Catholic church. There wasn't nobody around. I got myself up on a box and I did, you want that? I did it. Stood right up there and I did it. I filled that holy water with some real water. And the next day I went to Mass at St. Mary's to see what was going on. And they said, never been a better service. And they didn't know they were anointing themselves with my pee. And I got back. Every time a little child did something wrong, the preacher of that Pentecostal church would be the first one to report him. They wanted to get every little kid that did anything, any little kid that dared to think for himself, any little kid that wouldn't go along. They'd grab him and get him in trouble. So I fixed him up. I went out and got the old cow. I looked down and found some nice fresh leavings, you know. He always, Brother McFarland always opened his Bible. That is a great big thing. He didn't have nothing but a Bible. Wouldn't feed you. He'd kill you if he could have. Wouldn't he kick dogs? He drove his daughter insane. One of his sons got in jail for assault and battery because there's no love in his home. You know what I'm talking about. I had to sit under that. Oh, I did. I thought, oh, you got that Bible and I'll fix you up good. They opened that Bible and I was just a shaver. I wasn't 7, 8 years old. I packed that cow manure right in the middle, right on Acts 2:38. Packed it real good. Because I knew he'd open it. He was oneness, you know, Jesus only. I come up with them bunch, the Jesus only. I knew that's where the first place he'd go, because he'd always find a Trinitarian in, so he'd want to kill him, and he'd kill him. He'd make them feel like they was miserable. If they hadn't been baptized in Jesus' name, he'd preach them into hell, you know how they was. So he opened that. He used to say we shouldn't say darn. You know what he said? Who in the damn hell did this? Hypocrites. I in my one town, my people can back it up. The Bible church preacher found, wasn't it, mother? This mother Pentecostal, she can tell you. Sister Cordell, I raised her up when she was dying of cancer. She spit it out. She's now cutting hair. She's adopted 20-some children. She's in way past her 70. She don't look like she's dying. She's been laughing at me preach for 20 years. Look at her over there. She looks pretty good. Isn't this the truth? The Bible church preacher, Petty. They found him on a Sunday school table with a child. He preached a homosexual into condemnation till he went out and committed suicide. I'm not a homosexual, but I got great love for people that'll dare to be themselves. Preached that youngster into condemnation till he killed himself while he was down raping a little girl on a table. What happened to Golder? The biggest Pentecostal church in America, Christ Church? They found him out frigging with his cousin, who was 15. Caught him red-handed. What'd they do with this woman? She was a oneness Pentecostal 20 years ago. I saved her. Look at her. You think you ought to have seen her then? She had a straight knot, long sleeves. She couldn't smile. She was really in bondage, but she had a real spark in her. She loved monkeys. That's how she got to me. I love monkeys, and she loved monkeys. Hey, yes. She had no use for my preaching, but she liked the way I liked animals, the way I treated people, and the way I loved kids. And so she kept staying around. Now she's cut her hair, and she's been freelancing. She's never had a man, but she's had a lot of fun. Oh, child. Reared all these babies. Look at that woman. In her 70s with these little children. She's rearing little babies. Look at them. Every day. And cuts all of our hair free. Never runs out. Always there when you call for Edie. Always there to take care of somebody's baby. And she spit on the Bible with me 20 years ago. She's still living. So now you don't need to hold your heart over there anymore. Say, it's late. I could get you free so you would sleep good for a few nights, and you'll make up for all the time you've lost if you'd get in your heart what I'm saying to you right now. You'd get it in there. So good. One town, the preacher in her church when she started out to get with me, stole Nathan A. Urshan. He's the head of Harvest Time. You can listen to him on all the broadcasts. The head of the United Pentecostal Church. He stole her goods. Stole it. Stole her contracts. Stole her deeds. Stole things out of her safe. And then had her dirty family to act like she was insane. But I got wind of it. The spirit of Jones told me. She was miles away, but I lifted up the phone when the detective came. And I said, there's somebody at your door. It's a detective. They've come to pick you up to take you to the asylum with a warrant from your relatives. But I said, he happens to be black. And I know how one nigger knows how to talk to another nigger. Hey, yeah! I said, give me that nigger cop. No, I didn't. I said black. But that's what he was. He happened to be a nigger. He knew how it was to feel oppressed and persecuted. He was low rated. And I said, they're persecuting this woman. She's taken black children. She's helped. I'm a man that's adopted by... Oh, he said, I know you. I know you're Jones, Reverend Jones. You're the one that fight for blacks. I'll leave her here. Said, I'll leave her here. You know what we had to do? The spirit of Jones had to show where they'd stole the stuff. Stand if it's not true. Mary Stahl back there, another old-time Pentecostal. She's still living. Mary Cheddar. She's still living. One of my nurses there. I said, Eva Pugh back there, she's an old-time Pentecostal. You'd have her here in a knot, too. She's sure still living, cooking all day, taking your money, looking after it. Most honest woman in the world. Works like a horse. She's not dying back there. She's leaning on the pictures, looking at me. Wondering, what's the use? Hey, they know I'm good, you see. They're not afraid of what I'm saying because they know that Jim Jones had laid down their life for him. He knows. They know. He'd give his life for them. If it's not the truth, may I have to eat every Bible in this place. Now, that'd be the worst thing I could think of to eat. I said where it was, and I got a hold of a Dr. Lewis H. Deere in the town. I said, they've stolen those deeds of this woman to make her look insane. We had to send her to a psychiatrist to get a mental bill of health to prove she wasn't mental because they had a trick all set up. Nathan Ershon told us her own son adopted that she'd reared who stayed and wanted to get her property. Her other daughter came. She also turned against us. That's the kind of love I've got. She did dirty things to me. But when she died, I called you long distance and said she'd live 3,000 miles away. Her dirt got to her till she took poison. They said she'd never be well, her daughter. But I lifted her up. And her daughter left that old mess. I raised her out of the hospital without any damage. Me. So who do you pray to? Nobody! It's me! If you got that, then you'd be like me. You'd be free. That's why I can do these things. I don't look to anybody outside of me. It's all in me. Well, Dr. Lewis Deer called Nathan Ershon, the head of the Pentecostal church. Harvest time, headquarters St. Louis, Missouri. He said, I know the Bible's not true. Her son told us the same thing. We know it's not true. We know there's errors in it, but we're not going to quit preaching this now. People wouldn't pay their tithes. They wouldn't. What would you do? You'd confuse them. Yeah, what they meant was I wouldn't have no Cadillac. I'd confuse folks so they wouldn't give any money. Because a lot of you folk tonight, you're not going to come back. You won't think you need this place anymore. That's what's going to happen. I'm going to set you free. You won't feel you need this place. The only reason you need this place is because we're getting some food together. And when you get sick, I can do something about it. When you get in trouble, I can get you out. That's why we come together. But we're trying to get the place to where folk would grow up so we could be ourselves and we wouldn't have to go through all this tomfoolery. Because I can think of a lot of fun things we could do here tonight besides this kind of trip, sitting on these chairs and pushed up around behind these tables singing, hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. I could think of a whole lot of things that would be more fun. I was sitting here and some sister say, he healed me of heart trouble. He healed me of knee trouble. He healed me of back trouble. I can think of better stuff to do. Because they don't believe it anyway. Don't believe the devil does all this healing. Mighty good devil. Mighty good devil. God made you because he was lonely. I'm gonna bring it right back there where your nonsense is and we'll quit on that one. God made you because the theology said that he was up there in heaven wandering around through the skies. He looked down out there and there's too much sky and he wants somebody to worship him. What a kind of a mess we've been stuck with. You ask any Baptist, Methodist, Pentecostal, they'll tell you that same story. That God was lonely. And so God created people to worship him. And then they say, why did that sin come into the world? He's all perfect because he said he wanted you to be intelligent enough to know the difference. You can't know the difference. What kind of poor, beat kid, like I stood up as a foreman of the grand jury and fought for justice for this lad, the Maine and Braun case, that murdered these people on the highway. He'd been wrapped in a chair with steel wire and beat with his stepfather, beating him. And his mother would be in the chair wrapped in a wire and his stepfather would beat her till the blood would roll from her. He had not a square meal. He'd been poor all of his life. He'd been a nigger all of his life. And so he murders somebody on the road and they want to kill him. And they come to me, the grand jury foreman, says indicted. I said, I won't sign this. Because there was a Nazarene that came up to testify before me as the foreman of the grand jury. And he said, I know they did it. He said, I was there. He said, I was on the road. and they were bumping my car for 40 miles. Is that correct? 40 miles they were bumping my car up and down and nearly drove me off the road. And then I saw him stop to go back to get to that girl. He said, I saw him stop. So I know he did it. I said, what'd you do? So I went home, had a milk, some warm milk, and read my scriptures, had my prayers. He told me this shit. Right? I mean, I'd want to kill him. I've never done nothing made me so mad that I've ever been in my life. He said, I had my prayers, and he said, I asked that God would protect that girl on the road. I said, you crazy bastard. 1/4 mile, there was a house. You could have gone to a phone and got to a phone before that girl was shot through, and now she lays a paraplegic. And it's been our church that sent her more money. The other churches haven't done anything. She's a Catholic, but they didn't do anything. Susan Bartlemy. They had her for 3 hours in a car while they raped her before they shot her. If that damn dirty churchgoer had not had his mind on his damn sky god and looked to the God in him, he'd have stopped at the next phone and rang the sheriff and said, I've got somebody. There's undoubtedly a maniac on the road that's been shoving my car for 40 miles trying to run me in the ditch. You know he's no up to no good if he's doing all that. You know he's a dirty bastard if he did all that. But he went home, had his warm milk, kneeled down, read his scriptures, and went to bed. I took my finger at him. I said, I won't sign an indictment against this young boy who's been whipped like a dog. All because you say some God wanted to let him know good and evil, wanted to make a choice. What kind of choice can you make when you've been treated like an angry dog from the time you're born? When your mother's beat before you and you're beat and a man beats you, everything associated with man becomes evil. And God's supposed to be a man. Oh yes, we make him a man. Yeah, we made him man. He's never a woman. My God, if I was going to elect one, I'd make it a woman. Yeah, I've lost some of you, but I'm going to have a lot less burdens. Oh, I know. You're looking at me. You're smiling at me. You smile at me. You look real sweet, but you won't be back. I tell you where it's at, but you won't tell me. You just smile. You're just putting up with me tonight, and you won't put any money anymore. And what the hell is it to me? Because I won't have to feed you. I won't have to clothe you. I won't have to worry about you when you're on the hospital bed. I won't have to bathe you. I won't have to do any of the things I do for you. So it's your problem. Nobody's going to look after you. This guy God's not going to come down. You think he is, but he wouldn't. And if he did, why does he come to you and he won't come to the poor black mothers? Why didn't he come to Angela? Why didn't he come to the 4 black children that were blown up in the Baptist church? Why doesn't he come to all the poor whites that are starving? Right now, while I preach, 2 out of 3 babies are going to bed, according to the Washington State Department, U.S. government report. 2 out of 3 babies are crying tonight because they're going to bed hungry. What kind of a sky god have you got? I said, Nazarene, I said, there's only one person I'd like to indict. You were born white, never knew what it was to be treated like a dog. You're a good churchgoer with a fine new car. I said, if I'm going to indict anybody, I said, I'll indict you. Because it's people like you that cause the trouble. You don't even take the time to take a phone to get a little girl out of trouble. You only look after your own ass. That's the church people. Only look after. I said, if you want me to send anybody to jail, I'll send you to jail. But I'm not touching this man. Because he's sick. And that's the story you've been given. God made us with evil around us. And the potential of evil in a devil. His most beautiful angel turned out to be the devil. What kind of a mess? If I couldn't do any better than that, make something that turned out to take 1/3 of my angels, I'd resign. I'm talking about this myth God you got. I'm not to wake up there, honey, but put some salt on her. My God, I'm telling you, it's too hard to get truth across. It's too hard. I don't like this job. It's heavy to put my voice through this, but I'm trying to get about 100 people to think. I've been working. I had 10,000. 10,000. They used to pack. I couldn't even see my people because people like to see someone raise the dead. They like to see me. Cancers come off. Cataracts come out. Deaf ears open. 10,000 filled Cato Tabernacle. Until I threw the Bible down. Till I took a black child And they run like beetles under a rock. Those good saints filled Cato Tabernacle until I started to be human. I got no use to religion. You get it? That shows the love I've got for you. You know where I'd like to be? Out in the movement of the mines up here where our white niggers were blown to hell and gassed 2 weeks ago. Don't no clap. Don't, I want these people to get it. They don't hear over your claps. My heart's aching because people are so damn dumb. So damn dumb they won't think. It aches. I don't need your claps anymore. I'm tired of people. Not the ones of you that are supportive and want to do it, but you see, I'm not a god like your sky god. I don't want you to worship me. I want you to do whatever good I've done and repeat it and do greater good than I've done. If you can see, take a picture of me. I've said it over and over again. Hear my teachings. Take cognizance of my teachings. Take a picture of me, and then if you can, reproduce a better picture than I am. I don't want you to stand around saying hallelujah to me. That's a bore. What kind of a damned egotist would sit around and say hallelujah, praise God, thank you, Jesus? You know why they say thank you, Father, to me? Because you've got that dumb sky God that never even showed up. He's like a fart in a breeze. And you're always saying, thank you, God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, God. So my people said, we're tired of hearing these folk. They used to didn't say that to me. They wouldn't say thank you, Father. I was just Jim. Hi, Jim. Hi, Jim. Good to see you, Jim. But all these folk come in here. Bless Jesus. Thank Jesus. Bless God. Hallelujah. Oh, it's Jesus. So wonderful. Praise Jesus. Never seen him. Never showed up once. Never put a meal in their life. This is the craziest bunch I ever saw. Yeah, I'd come here and I'd feed them. I'd dress them up. I'd take them in. I'd get them to the doctor. I'd heal them, and they'd say,